Continuing our preaching series, our teaching series, I guess how you would view it, we're still looking at Psalms 23. Going through these, you know, the Holy Spirit just laid on my heart to go through Psalms 23 and breaking down specific words and looking at specific verses, and today we continue our sermon series is, O Lord, create in me a shepherd heart, a heart for Jesus, and this is part four, so believe it or not, we've already done four parts. The links, I've been linking them on our Facebook page, so you can go on there, you can click, and it'll take you straight to my website that I designed. And then you can actually listen to the MP3 player on there. So you can go to that, hit the sermons, and you can actually go and can re-listen to them again. And, of course, I put Bible studies on there, too, and stuff during the week. So that's just another resource y'all can tash on to during the week. But we're looking at Psalms 23, and we're going to look at verse 2. So Psalms 23, verse 2. He make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, to get up here and to preach and teach. I pray that the Holy Spirit just moves. God, I pray that the words that you have me to say today just reaches those that need to hear it. Is it here or online, wherever it may be? Your message doesn't go void. When two or three gather in the midst, you will be there. God, we get so fixated on numbers, and numbers don't mean anything. It's the heart condition what matters. We lift our hearts up to you during this time, during this season, this time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and that we don't lose the heartbeat of the true purpose of this season, the true purpose of our life, the true purpose of what you are doing in us and around us to those that need to hear the gospel, God. Let's never forget that purpose that we have, those around us, to be that light during this month and next month and next year, God. Let's not lose that. Let's keep that heartbeat pumping to those in our community that need to hear about Jesus Christ, God. Let our heart yearn for the those that are lost and in this area, God. A day shouldn't go by until that we don't see somebody on the street and tell them about Jesus. Oh, that's a day that's waste. We don't tell someone about Jesus, especially in our community. God, I pray that we just lift those that are hurting, that are not feeling good, that are down and out, that are feeling the pull of this season, Lord, the pull of this world, Lord, the pull of our nation, Lord, the chaos and the turmoil all about us, God. Within all of that, let's not lose focus of the hope, regardless of what we're going through, the hope that we have in Jesus, the hope that when we're struggling, when we're not feeling good, that we can cling to this hope and knowing, saying that this life is only temporary and what's coming is going to be beyond what we can imagine. We endure the pain. We endure the uncomfortable things of this life, the circumstances. We endure. God, I pray once again, you just move. Have me speak what you need me to speak. Have me teach what you need me to teach. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, When we look at this verse, well, let's back up a little bit. We got through verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. That was the first verse. And the goal is also, as we're going through this, kind of just memorize these scriptures. You know, Psalms 23 is a very powerful Psalms. It's a Psalm of David. And he wrote so many, right? You can go through the Psalms. And a lot of times when I am struggling and when I'm trying to figure out things in this life and I'm beside myself, I'll start reading through the Psalms. There's like 150 of them. You just start reading through them. There's encouragement. And there's encouragement in Psalms 23. And we went over how the Lord, when they were talking about the Lord, it was Jehovah. It was sacred. It was close to them. It was a God. It was a Lord. It's the Lord that we can't really wrap our minds around. We try to, right? But we can't. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, and He is our shepherd, right? He is the key shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. And that's kind of what we're going to continue the message today on. I shall not want. I shall not want. And we talked a little bit about it last week. I shall not want. We have to understand that the heartbeat of this message today and all of it is about focusing on how to draw closer to the Lord. To draw closer to the Lord when we don't understand what is going on all around us. See, sin can prevent that closeness. When we have sin in our life, that can handicap us drawing closer to Jesus. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday Bible disciple training today. About how sin is. We should never be okay with our sin. Never. Sin should break our heart because it breaks God's heart. We don't have to scratch our head and figure out what sin is. And we kind of hit on that in the very beginning of this sermon series on what sin is and how it prevents us drawing closer to Jesus. You know, we were talking about in Sunday school, how a lie is a lie, period. A white lie is a lie. Jesus doesn't separate a lie. And that's just one example of a sin in our life that is common. Most churches, they will separate a lie. They will say, you know, a white lie is different. Then I encourage them to show me in the Bible, because I'm all about the scripture, where Jesus distinguished a white lie from a lie. I'm still waiting for that scripture. Sin comes into our life. We commit that sin, and it should break our heart and draw us to repentance. Meaning, we realize that, the grief of that, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. It's in our life. It convicts us. It chastens us. It leads us to that word repentance. Meaning we turn away from it. And when we turn away from that sin, we're turning back and looking at Jesus. And yes, He is faithful and He will forgive of our sin. None of us are perfect, of course. We will still have those moments where we just cave in. But the point is when we do sin, there is supposed to be a conviction in our hearts. A lot of that is lost today in the modern day church. They don't want to talk about sin. They don't want to define sin. They want to endorse the sin. They want to try to redefine what the Bible calls sin. I want to tell you, the Bible is very clear on what sin is. You can go from Genesis all the way up to Revelations, and you can point out places where sin is. Endorsing of it in today's churches is sad, and it breaks my heart. But one of the sin that I guess that we can really look at is that one part, I shall not want. Today, when we look at this world and we look around at this time of the year, the Christmas time, right? You're bombarded by materialism. Physical gifts. What can I buy? Black Friday. Don't end on Black Friday. They do it Thursday, and it looks like they continue all through the weekend now. Cyber Mondays, internet, and then they do cyber all week and all weekend. It's all about material things. It's about the physical. You look at most of your retail stores, it's all about bringing in the money. So we get so fixated on what material-wise we want, we lose what we truly need. You will see the prosperity gospel. And when I say prosperity, they focus on the wealth, the health, the finance. God wants to bless you beyond what you imagine. He wants to give you all these things. You can have your best life now, as Joel Osteen will say. I watch him periodically. It's crazy on how well that sells. Top church is growing. Because we want our best life now. It's all about us. It's about what we can gain. And he is not the only one. You can look at churches like John Hagee, Steve Furtick. You can look at Beth Moore, Joyce Myers, and the list goes on and on and on. They're all about materials. What can we gain in this life? And how can we sell this so we can get the money raking in? Look at these guys. They're worth millions. Look at the mansions they're living in. Would Jesus approve of that lifestyle? If Jesus came today, physically looked down and walked into those churches, what would he say to them? They wouldn't like what he would say to them. They would kick them out, and they have pretty much out of their churches. Because it's about what I can tell you to make you feel good about yourself. So if you feel good, simple psychology, if I tell you what you want to hear, you will, in return, give me money. It's basic psychology. I've studied psychology for like 8 years. And I know psychology. I can look at these guys and say, you know, that's a technique that a psychologist would use. That's what they're doing. And if you're not receiving the health and wealth and all this stuff, it's because you're doing something wrong. Look at me. I'm doing everything right. That's why God has blessed me beyond my means. And that's why I have this nice house. And that's why I have this nice car. And that's why I have this jet. Because I am doing everything just right. No. I guarantee if you could just walk with them for a week, which you wouldn't be able to because they won't allow it. Because they're hiding something. Things every once in a while shows up. And you're like, yeah, there it is. They let a little thing seep out. And then they're like, oh, PR time. We got to fix this. A lot of these guys, they have had follow-ups, big follow-ups. They had relations. with others that were not their significant spouse, then divorce their spouse and stays in the pulpit, marries that, and nobody calls them out, and they're still up there preaching. What's going on is because people are not studying the Word of God and not calling them out. The goal is for them, for you not to study the Word of God, because if you start studying the Word of God, you will start understanding what's going on with these guys. But here's the goal here is the materialism, the health, the wealth, the prosperity, right? It sells. But it's not about what we want as a material wise. It's what we need. When we look at this passage, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He's leading me beside the still waters. Here's David. He's a shepherd. And he's recalling a time back when he was watching the sheep, the flock. And he says they lay down in green pastures. Why are they laying down in green pastures? It's because their basic needs are being met. They are full. Their belly is full with food, right? They have water, so they're not thirsty. The shepherd's watching over them, protecting them. They feel safe and secure, and they can rest in this beautiful pasture. Their needs are being met. Humans, we're a little bit more complex than animals. When we look at our basic needs, like food and water and place to lay our heads, are we truly thankful for our basic needs? Are we reaching over there and looking, oh, I want that new cell phone that just came out, right? That iPhone 12, 13, I don't know now. They got iPhone every year. And now they got the 5G, which is supposed to be the fastest download. And now they're working on a 6G that's supposed to be faster. I guess downloading a video for 10 seconds is not fast enough. They need 4 seconds more. Let's tell you where we're living in. Instant. I want 1 second. When I press that button, I'm ready to watch my video. Don't make me wait no 10 seconds. Why would you need something so fast? Because we live in a fast-paced world. We want to stay so busy. It might be that new vehicle out there with a new truck, you know, with all the capabilities, the warm seats, you know, all the bells and whistles, as we say. It might be that nice home that we want, that's so fancy, that has rooms that are empty. Do we really need it? No. All we truly need is food, water. We don't need no fancy vehicle to get to work. Don't hurt to have one. But I'm saying we don't need it. We just need a basic place to lay our heads at night, away from the weather. It don't have to be fancy. But these guys, they'll tell you otherwise. Because they're drawing from your flesh. They're drawing that materialism from you because they know that sells. If I cater to you, and I use a scripture here and there just to make it legit, right? It's a byproduct. It's not the heartbeat of the message. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to say this popular thing, and I'm going to make scripture wrapped around it and make it sell for you. No, scripture speaks for itself. Scripture speaks for Himself. Scripture speaks, and then everything else attaches onto it. But I'm telling you today, the New Age Christianity, the New Age progressive Christianity, is the opposite. It's about a popular message that I can hit you with, a theme, and then I can make you feel good about yourself. And because I make you feel good about yourself, I throw a few scriptures in there. Oh, he's legit. He's quoting scriptures. It doesn't matter. I'm misquoting those scriptures out of context because I'm not studying the Word of God. There's people out there not listening truly and clinging to the Word of God and breaking down the scriptures and calling these guys out for what they are, heretics. God can still use heretics, even if they misquote a scripture out of context. But when we look here, us as humans, we are more complicated in the sense of a sheep. But here is the catch. Here's the catch. Our basic needs is enough. We don't have to have all the fancy stuff in this world. We don't have to have all the gifts that is wrapped around Christmas. There is only one gift that matters. There is only one true gift. And now, when I talk about Christmas, you will have those that will come out and say, hey, you know, Christmas, you know, Jesus Christ was not born during this month. Guys may have heard that. And last Christmas I talked about that. And they could be correct. I know the arguments. I know how to talk about it. And some will say, you know, Christmas is pagan. Why are you worshiping a pagan holiday? But I want to tell you this. Regardless of what the thoughts are on that, this is a time of the year that we as a nation are used to, is a time to point to the birth of Jesus Christ. Matter if he might have not been born in December, maybe, and there are pagan links to it, but the goal is, let's push all that aside and focus on the true message here. The true message, the true heartbeat, that is Christmas, is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's about his birth. The core principles of that is, he was born to Mary, a virgin. It was a miracle. The hand of God placed on Mary, a child. Emmanuel, God with us. He was born in conditions that we wouldn't even consider sanitary. Animals were there. The stench. You can imagine if you've ever been in a barn. Think you've ever been in a barn. I'm a country boy. I've been in a barn before. And you got horses there. And maybe you got some pigs in there. And maybe you got some cows in there. And I'm telling you, it don't smell the best. You better watch where you step. Or wear some boots, right? That's where Jesus was born. The stench. Just imagine the smell. The Son of God born. As we say, a manger. Some say it might have been a cave. Some say, but he was born in a condition that was unsanitary. We would say it was not truly fit for a king. But that's what God does. He takes the script and he flips it. You wouldn't think God would do that, but he did that. Shows you how awesome our God is. You never know what he's about to do. Because they would say a king would be born in something nicer than that. Oh, they couldn't even go into an inn. They had to go into this area, and Mary had to give birth to the Son of God. Do we get that? The Son of God. It's not as clean as we see on television. All the animations make it look all clean. And some of you women giving birth, it's not a clean procedure. It's not. So you could say it was interesting how that child was born. But that is the point. Jesus, the Son of God, was given to this world because He had to come in, as it was prophesied in the Old Testament over 400 times, that He would come, and He had to come because He had to walk among us, and He had to come because of the prophetic fulfillment of time, and He has come because now that because He has came, because He had to die on that cross. The old rugged cross. His blood had to be spilt. The Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. We are sinful. Let's not get that. We are deprived. We're missing that message in the pulpit. We do not deserve this life. We do not deserve anything except the depths of depravity in a place of torment for the rest of our life. We are scum. We are totally deprived. We don't need what God did for us. Do we get that? But He did it anyway. He did it because He loves this world. He loves all. And He does not want one of us to perish. For God so loved the world, right? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, that means believe, faith, have trust in Him, shall not perish. You shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life, guys. This life is so tiny. It's just a brief speck. We get so fixated on our pain. And I know. We get so fixated on the things of this life. Can we move past that? Can we move past all that negativity? Can we move past our own feelings and look at Jesus Christ and the cross? None of us in our lifetime will experience the agony, the torment of the cross. He took that for this world. A world that would rather spit on Him and curse Him. A world that would prefer to do whatever they want to do. If you look at the Roman Empire, it was filthy. You kind of compare it to America now. It's all about me. What makes me feel good about myself. It's all about what I can get. Ain't about what I can give. See, that's the Christian message. It's not but what I can get from you. No. Joel Osteen, you're wrong. No, all you other preachers out there claiming this message. It's about what Jesus can do through me. And it's at that cross, the blood that was spilt. If He didn't remain on that cross, He was removed from that cross. He was placed in that tomb. And on that third day, He rose from the grave. I'll tell you, that is amazing, right? He rose from the grave. He came back and He seen the disciples. And they seen with their own eyes. It's amazing, right? Raised from the dead. Raised. That's power in the cross. It's power in Jesus. And when we look at this Christmas time, that's a reflection of all of that. That birth in that manger, that is a reflection of redemption. That's a reflection of who we are. And Jesus said, I died for you and you and you and for all y'all. And this is the thing you have to say. You got to recognize these things. You have to recognize my birth. You got to recognize my death. You got to recognize my resurrection. You got to recognize I'm coming back. You have to recognize you're sinful, because sin wraps around all of that. And when we recognize that, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. He changes us. There's got to be a change. Your old ways are no more. You are new in Christ. The ways that you think as you were in your old time, in your old nature, is not as you are now. You are renewed. The blood of Jesus Christ. And when we are new in Christ, yes, we still have that flesh nature, and we're going to be warring with that. That's just part of it. That is part of a Christian walk. That is part of being a disciple for Jesus. A disciple is just a Christian who's all in. And you recognize that internal pull back and forth. But you have the Holy Spirit that moves you and guides you and directs you and corrects you into the path that you need to go. The conviction pulls you away from that life. You're not able to stay in that moment, in that time of constant sinning, because you are new in Christ. You're new in Christ. And when we do that, there should be a boldness in our hearts. Boldness. You know, some will say, you know, when we look at the Old Testament, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. You will hear that. A justification. I want to tell you just a few scriptures. Well, one scripture, Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." The Lord says, "I change not." You can flip over to Revelations, and Revelations 1:8 said, "I am the Mega, I am the Alpha and the Omega." Meaning, He said, "I'm the beginning, the end. I'm the A to the Z," right? Okay, Alpha is Greek alphabet. A, Mega, Z. "Beginning, the end," said the Lord, which is, He said, "is, which was, and which is to come." Genesis 1:1, right? He is. He was. All the way up to the New Testament, He still is. Hebrews 12:8 said, "Jesus Christ, the Son of God, made flesh, the same yesterday, today, and forever." That's Hebrews 13:8. I want to tell you, He does not change. He is still the same God as the Old Testament. He has not changed. And we have to recognize that, because when He calls sin, sin, and we look at the Ten Commandments, and a lot of the Ten Commandments rolled into the New Testament, He still calls that sin when we violate the commandments. Even when Jesus is making it easy and said, "I give you two commandments, right? Basically, love God, love Jesus with everything you got. You will keep all my commandments." He made it simple. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That is part of going and believing and confessing and knowing Jesus, is when we do that, we want to keep the commandments. We want to follow Him with everything we got. Even when it gets difficult, we still want to follow Him. We don't back away. We don't turn away. I'll tell you, there's a time coming into America where many will realize that I didn't sign up for this, and they will not do this, what they're professing, Christian life anymore. True Christian life. The progressive Christianity will still grow all the way up to the end times, because that is the popularity Christianity. That is the new age Christianity. That's everyone wants to attach on to and keep on pressing on, because it makes me feel good. Oh, because I want to keep doing what I want to do. I want to still live the way I want to live. I don't want to have to worry about this little word called sin and living a life separate from this world. The Bible's out of date. Won't have time to hit on these scriptures here, but I encourage you guys, if y'all, you know, I preached on this, Daniel 3, 14 through 19. Something you could write down and maybe go through. Dealing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Preached on that. Their boldness. Basically, the God they were serving is still the same God today. But when we truly come to Jesus, yes, it's about recognizing His birth. It's beautiful. And yes, it is about His death, which is horrible. And yes, it's about the resurrection, which is beautiful, because death has no hold on us. Death is just the next step to something beautiful if you're a Christian. But a lot of these passages, they get left out. Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, I beseech ye therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is your reasonable to offer. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that ye may prove that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Galatians 2, 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lived in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. 2 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Matthew 8:19 through 20 says, the scribe said unto him, Master, I follow thee wherever thou goest. Yes. Jesus said, okay. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have places to lay their head, basically. I mean, they had homes, and Jesus did. And those scriptures, of course, you can go deep down in there, but those are scriptures missing. It's just not about accepting, believing, confessing. When you do that, your heart changes. And you start stepping in the path. You start stepping in discipleship. You start walking in that light that God has given you, not away from it when times get hard. As we close today, in closing, I just want to bring attention to Psalms 23:2, when David said, He make me to lie down in green pastures, He lead me beside the still waters. You know, we look at that, and David was a shepherd in his youth. And he knew and seen with his own eyes when he was tending the flock, when they were content, when they had food and when they had water, and when they were feeling safe and content, they would lay in the pasture. They had what they wanted at the time. We need to realize our basic needs. Don't forget to thank God for our basic needs, like our food and our water and our place to live. And of course, giving thanksgiving constantly, you know, when we're eating our food and stuff. You know, we should give thanks to God when we eat. That shouldn't seem, it ain't that you're gonna bless the food anymore, that it already is. It's just recognizing, I don't deserve this food that you're providing for me. We should have that thanksgiving in our hearts. And when it comes to looking at Christmas and stuff, all the material things of this world, we need to recognize the material things are what they are. They are secondary to the primary message that we have as a Christian, as a disciple for Jesus. That message is recognizing that what God done for us, that is through His Son, Jesus Christ, recognizing what happened and the birth. We should tell our kids about the birth of Jesus Christ, and that should be the fundamental principle, and everything else just attaches on to that. But the primary purpose is to tell them. They should know more about Jesus and the birth of Christ than Santa and his 12 reindeers. Kids can tell you all 12 reindeer, but they can't tell you about Jesus. There's a problem, and they grow up and they get into this system and they just keep on getting indoctrinated. And then when they're in their 20s, and we're wondering, well, they grew up in church all this time, why aren't now they atheists? And that's happening. Record numbers. What's going on? Because we're not shedding the light on the truths. They should know more about Jesus Christ and the birth. They should know about how precious that was for God to send His only Son for us to because He loved this world so much, and because we can't do it, and we should go into that and explain that. And, you know, not even just that, going and explaining about His death and His resurrection. Being how old they are, you might want to get not too deep in the details in the death, because it's grisly. But the resurrection, but the birth of Jesus Christ is a pivotal point in time. A baby born to a world that did not deserve it. We do not deserve Jesus. We really think that we are something, especially here in America, that God owes us something, that it's all about what we can gain, what we can hold. It's all about the physical stuff of this world. It's about the financial gain I can get. Oh, I may be able to work that extra shift at work and miss out on church. Over and over, there's something wrong with your heart when you do that. There's something not right in your heart when you do that, because you should have a longing for fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And when we go out into this world, if you truly are His, you should have a yearning and a passion to always live a life that is separate from this world. Living a life that is saying, I have counted the cost. I will go out into that world. I will tell somebody about Jesus. I will tell somebody. We go a week without telling somebody about Jesus, there's something wrong with us. We go a week in our community without telling somebody about Jesus, there's something wrong with us. We should have a passion and a fire burning in our loins to go out there and witness to others about Jesus. My question is, do you have that? Are your mind focused on the material things of this year? Are you all about me, me, I? Does your children know the true reason for the season? They switch it over and say, Happy Holidays. No. They won't take the Christ miss, so say they Xmas. They get offended when they see a manger display and they want it removed. That happens and is happening. Why is it so offensive? Well, you can have all kind of Halloween decorations and nobody gets offended about Halloween except me. Seems like sometimes. Why? Darkness, light. It's not hard. The heartbeat of Christmas is the birth of Christ and what it means to each and every one of us, meaning that we do not have to perish. We do not have to go to a place of torment, to hell. We do not have to experience that torment. The birth of Jesus Christ should be important. Not just one time of the year, one season. It should continue to next month and the month after that into the year. We should continue that in our hearts all through the year. Because it doesn't stop in one month. Oh, Christmas is over with, so now it's over with. Let's do it, you know. No, it continues. It continues to those around us because we tell them about Jesus Christ. We tell them about the birth of Jesus Christ. And we continue into telling about the gospel because we have broken the law. We deserve damnation. We deserve hell. But God sent His Son so we don't have to. And we go and we accept and we believe and we confess. And when we do that, our life is changed. No, we don't get to see, keep doing what we're doing. No, we don't keep sinning the way we're sinning because the conviction of the Holy Spirit pours into to us and corrects us. Our lives are not about us. It's about what God can do through us. As we have a verse of
124.
As we stand.